When in 1960, still a student, I got a traveling fellowship to study housing in North America. We traveled the country. We saw public housing, high-rise buildings in all major cities, New York, Philadelphia. Those who had no choice lived there. And then we traveled from suburb to suburb. And I came back thinking, we got to reinvent the apartment building. There has to be another way of doing this. We can't sustain suburbs. So let's design a building which gives the qualities of a house to each unit. Habitat would be all about gardens, contact with nature, streets instead of corridors. We prefabricated it so we would achieve economy. And there it is, almost 50 years later. It's a very desirable place to live in. It's now a heritage building, but it did not proliferate. In 1973, I made my first trip to China. It was the Cultural Revolution. We traveled the country, met with architects and planners. This is Beijing then. Not a single high-rise building in Beijing or Shanghai. Shenzhen didn't even exist as a city. There were hardly any cars. 30 years later, this is Beijing today. This is Hong Kong. If you're wealthy, you live there. If you're poor, you live there. But high density it is. And it's not just Asia. Sao Paulo, you can travel in a helicopter, 45 minutes, seeing those high-rise buildings consume the 19th century low-rise environment. And with it comes congestion, and we lose mobility, and so on and so forth. So a few years ago, we decided to go back and rethink habitat. Could we make it more affordable? Could we actually achieve this quality of life and the densities that are prevailing today? And we realize it's basically about light, it's about sun, it's about nature, it's about fractalization. Can we open up the surface of the building so that it has more contact with the exterior? We came up with a number of models, economy models, cheaper to build and more compact, membranes of housing, which people could design their own house and create their own gardens.